26 to 20. Okay, sorry. We'll just start reading from verse 26. Let me pray first. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord, and speak to us as we come to seek you, Lord. Let your word resonate with us, and if there's let it pierce us, and if there's any anything that sticks, Lord, help us to bring about change, that we would be reliant on you to guide us and for strength, Lord. And so speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Okay, verse 26 of Proverbs 23. It says, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow will. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mass. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink." Amen. Okay, so at verse 26, if you were at my last Friday, I also talked about wisdom, and the Proverbs is extensive and constantly reiterates the importance of walking in wisdom, the blessing, the goodness, everything. It's just a good thing. And verse 26, it says, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways." And so when we're talking about wisdom, it's more than facts. It's more than principles. It's more than just like, oh yeah, I get that. If, you know, I get that it's not good, for example, to borrow money. That's one of the, you understand it, but the key is not just to know it in your head. It's a heart matter. It's a choice. It's an action that you have to, in that moment when you have to make a decision, what are you going to do? I'm going to choose to act. And that's why here it says, "Give me your heart." Not just, hey, listen very attentively. Give me your heart and also delight in my ways. Because if you delight in God's ways, very naturally, you will walk in obedience. You will walk in His ways. The issue is, oftentimes, we understand, but we do not delight in His ways. We understand why that, we understand what God is saying, but is it really practical? It seems kind of hard if I'm going to really go through with this. It means I can't borrow money. I'm going to have to make some sacrifices in my life. I'm going to have to live a little bit more prudently, less luxurious, less comfortable. And so is this what I really want? Or maybe I should just take out a loan. And so we need to delight in His ways. If we delight in His ways, you know, if you've ever, and this is kind of a not super clear topic, especially with borrowing money, because, you know, in, especially in Hong Kong, you have a mortgage, right? It's almost, it's the way things are set up, unless you inherit property, it's almost impossible to own properly unless you get a mortgage. Janie and I have a mortgage, and I can tell you the effects of that mortgage is it's always there in the back of your mind. When will it be done with this mortgage? It's like this burden. And so I tried to my best of my ability. Hopefully I'm not sinning or walking not in wisdom. But that's the only loan I have. I cannot imagine if you have multiple loans. Even that one mortgage, it's always there. Oh, such a burden every month. Oh, you know, right now Janie is not working. And so now it's just me. Right? So even more so. But imagine you had multiple. I can't, like, how it would affect you, the stress, the burden. And so we need to delight in his ways, right? So we don't just focus, or we don't just want to satisfy our temporary, but also our soul, the long term. Verse 27, it says, "For a harlot is a deep pit." Harlot, kind of an old word. Something they might use in Shakespeare. What is a harlot? Okay, this is a definition I found. A harlot is a smooth-talking beauty who engages in sexual intercourse for lust and or money with no intention of binding and enduring relationship. And so they're not desiring relationship. They're using their, I guess, gifts to gain. And so this would be a very classic, not classic, but a very common type of harlot would be a prostitute. Because they have no interest in building a relationship. They just want money, right? And it says, a harlot is like a deep pit. How is it like a deep pit? What is a deep pit used for? A deep pit is a trap. It's dug deep because a deep pit, and in this case, it's easy to fall in, right? Because the intention of a deep pit, a trap, is so that you would fall in. But once you fall in, because it's so deep, it's very difficult to come out. And so the illustration is a harlot is like that. It's a trap. And so you need to be careful. It's hard to think of a trap. It's hard to see. It's not obvious, right? I think in the Bible, the best example is Samson and Delilah, right? Delilah is a harlot. She's not necessarily maybe for money, but also for people. She has ulterior motives. She doesn't really want to be with Samson. And you see Samson, he's able to overcome challenge after challenge after challenge, you know, overcome the Philistines. And Delilah is that trap each and every time, but he just doesn't see it. And so what happens? He keeps falling into this trap, this deep pit. And in the end, he's unable to fall out. I mean, climb out. It gets him. It also says, an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Also, like, huh? Narrow well? Why a narrow well? Well, okay, again, what is the intention of a well? A well is a deep hole that's been dug into so that you can access clean, fresh water so that you can drink. So the purpose of a well is to satisfy your thirst. The bigger the well, the more it is capable to satisfy your thirst. And thus, a narrow well, a small well, is unable to satisfy your thirst. So it's saying that an adulterous woman, also a harlot, is like a narrow well. It cannot satisfy you. And I think oftentimes the irony is it's not going to be satisfying, right? And we know that there's a reason God instructs us to have sex in the confines of marriage, because that's the intention and that is where it will satisfy. Because what is the purpose of sex, well, okay, to procreate is one, but it's for intimacy. It's meant for a relationship. When two people become one physically, you become one emotionally and spiritually. It's meant for eternal, enduring relationship. And so when you have that outside of the confines of marriage, in adultery, then it's not what is intended, so it will not satisfy. And the irony is, when people engage in adultery, extramarital affairs, they're trying to satisfy something, right? Your flesh is trying to be satisfied. And so oftentimes it's just so ridiculous that the very thing you desire in your flesh, which is to satisfy it, it will never be satisfied. But that's how unaware and short-sighted we can become. And thus, that's why Proverbs, again, is making it aware to us. Right? If you're thinking, if anyone here is thinking, if you're fantasizing or thinking about, and especially if you're married, have an aha moment right now. No, it's not going to satisfy you. Think a little further. How will this play out? You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose the love of your life. You know, the trust that you built is broken. Is it worth it? No, it's not. It will not satisfy. And then it says, surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. And lurks like a robber, all to say, is ready to get you, right? It's basically, you know, I don't want to demonize a woman. It's not woman. It's spiritual, right? And so Satan, we know, is like a lion lurking, ready to destroy you. And so likewise, when it comes to lust, adultery, this harlot, it's the same. And it says it increases the faithless among men. And so there's a correlation. It's just a reality of life, right? For there to be a harlot, there is also going to be the faithless among men. And so it's not all the, it's, we can't just, you can't just blame, like, who's to blame? Is it the harlot, the adulterous woman, or is it the faithless men? I would say it's both. There cannot be one without the other. And this is just, again, the reality of the situation, right? It's just as there's always going to be the poor, there's always going to be the faithless and the harlot. Now, starting at 29, it's this, suddenly there's this lament or a poem on alcohol. Kind of interesting in Proverbs. And it starts by saying, who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaining, who has wounds without cause, who has redness of eyes, those who linger long over wine. And so Solomon mentions all these not so pleasant, positive things that can happen. Woe, sorrow, contention, complaining. And the ones who, I guess, often have these experiences, it's those who linger over wine. So it's not just those who drink wine, right? Because we know drinking in itself is not a sin. In fact, Jesus turns water to wine. If it was a sin, why would his first miracle be that? So we need to make a distinction of when is it, and oftentimes all things are permissible, right? But it's when we go too far with things, that's when we get into trouble. So in this case, it's those who linger with wine. Lingering. Lingering is when you're just, I think of a person who's just always around, right? Even when the occasion is done, they linger. It's not necessarily a bad thing, right? I think of house church, people often linger afterwards, right? Because I host it. And so we're done with house church and people are still lingering. It's like officially we're done. It's time to go, but they're still around. I like it, right? Because it's just, oh, they're here now because they want to be here. It's a choice, not because it's house church, right? So I kind of like it. Likewise with alcohol, right? It's the lingering. When it's around too long, maybe it's time to wrap it up, but you're still drinking. Still drinking. It's not just those who linger over wine. It's those who go to taste mixed wine. And so those who go to taste mixed wine is you want more. You want stronger. You want more flavor. You want to try different types of wine. You have that desire. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. And so wine, the reality, and this is, it's a reminder, it's pleasing, right? And for some of you, maybe you're like, oh, I'm totally not into alcohol. It's disgusting. But the truth is, it's pleasing. It's pleasing in how it looks. It sparkles. You know, when people taste their wine, what did I see? I just saw this, some show on wine, and they're swirling it. They're looking at it in the light, seeing the color, right? Does it I don't know enough wine. Look in the, ooh, that's a good wine, right? What else do you do besides look at it? You smell it, the fragrance. All these things, it's like, it's kind of crazy what you will do with the fragrance, right? The taste, you know, you slip it. You don't just drink it. You have to have some air, like aeration in your mouth. So when you drink it, you got to slurp it. So you get air and the taste. And so it's appealing to the senses. And then at verse 32, it says, at the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. And so it might seem harmless at first, and that might be the case, but it can be, it describes that as a stake. What happens if it stings you or bites you? Poison. It's not good for you. It says your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. And so this doesn't apply just to alcohol. We can expand it even to drugs, marijuana, other things, right? Other things of addiction. And it says your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. It can do that to you. Right? You will be not yourself. That's very possible. I've experienced this before, not like when I was young, okay? And I remember I did something, it was so, I was just like, I was high, okay? And for some reason, we're listening to Alanis Morissette's, that this is an artist, CD, music. And I had the, it was my, at my friend's house, there was an album cover. And then I was doing something, we're having a good time, and then my friend goes, what are you doing? I looked down, and I took out, if you know what, an album CD cover, and I folded it into a crane. Like, you know, origami? A crane. And it's their brand new CD album cover, and I looked down, and I'm like, shocked. And I was like, apologize. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But I had no idea how that just happened. It just happened. And this is, you know, a kind of a very harmless thing that I did unaware. But other things could happen that could be illegal, it could be traumatic, it could hurt somebody, right? We see like one of the symptoms of, you know, why don't you want to go to Lan Kwai Fong or Wan Chai on the weekend in the evening? Because people are intoxicated. They're out of control. You could bump into someone and they would want to fight you. And you would not be able to reason. And so people do things and say things that they don't intend to. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. In other words, it's describing someone who's on a boat, lost at sea. That's the worst thing that can happen, by the way. Be in the middle of the ocean, you have no idea which direction that you should go. And that's what it can be like if you're reliant on alcohol. You're actually kind of lost in life. You're depressed. You don't know. You're just floating about. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. And so this is a very, this is something that can happen, right? Your alcohol is ruining your life, but you're oblivious to it. You have no idea. You keep losing things, you keep maybe losing jobs, breaking relationships, and you're oblivious to it, right? Your focus has become so much about the pleasure. You could be lost at sea, aimlessly wandering, and yet you still just want another drink. I can attest that season of my life, I remember getting drunk. I was like, any social gathering, if we're doing it and we're drunk, that's better. Any movie, any theme park, any experience, getting high on it and experiencing, that's even better. That's what high people do. They say, like, have you ever watched this movie, but high? People really say that. And you're like, and if you're someone who also partakes, you say, really? We should do that together. Really? And there was a time that I really felt like this, and I thought there was nothing wrong. The reality was I was trying to escape reality. And I remember when I finally became Christ, God did something in my heart. At this point, when I first started coming to SP, I was still partying. But then when I became a Christian and God touched me, something changed in me. And suddenly I was like, you know, God is so good. He's so real. I don't want to experience reality high. I want to experience reality as God intended it. I don't want to escape reality. I want to pursue reality. And that's when I no longer want, like, I basically stopped drinking and other things. And actually, it goes more than, we can escape in many things, right? Even, you know, our phones, social media. And there's been times even with social, I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I experiencing this doom scroll reality? This is not satisfying. It's pointless. It's a waste of time. I want to experience the fullness of life and the reality God has given me. And so we can feel trapped. We can be deceived. We become not aware. And then finally it says, when shall I awake? I will seek another drink. And so you could be totally aware of this. You can be, and I think at the end, I was aware of this, like, what am I doing with my life? Is this the extent of life? Every week or every evening is just to go all out, have some drinks, and go crazy? Is that the purpose of life? And I was aware, I think I was depressed, and so how did I deal with that aimless depression? I went back to it. And that's how you know there's a problem. It's, you know, it's not good, and yet you keep going back to it. It can be any addiction, right? And maybe that's a problem too. If I mean, many of us, our main addiction now is our phones. You know, like, oh, I have this habit in the evening, once I put the kids to sleep, once I'm free, I just want to be on my phone. But I know in that time, that's when I can spend time with you, God. That's when I can spend time with my spouse. That's when I can really pray. That's when I can really be productive and be full of my life. You're aware of it, but then the following night, same thing happens again and again and again. And so you're just deeply dissatisfied. So that can happen. Okay. But here we're really talking about alcohol. Okay. Warning against what can happen with alcohol. And if that is you, and maybe it sounds really, or any, let's talk about any addiction. It could be alcohol, drugs, social media, pornography, whatever. It could be anything. Don't lose hope. Because there's still hope in Jesus. Is there anything that Jesus cannot overcome? No. He was able to resist temptation. He died on the cross and conquered sin. And so there is always hope in him. And so the best thing, and how did I overcome and have an aha moment? And where I was like, what am I doing with my life? I'm done with this. I want to pursue the truth. I encountered God. I went to the Lord. He met with me. He touched me. He transformed my heart. Right? To walk in wisdom, it's a heart thing. And he transformed my heart. And through relying on him, I was able to change the way I went about life. Instead of wanting to escape reality, I wanted to pursue it. And so I invite you to circle. Okay, let's bring a chair. I guess we put them away. And let's gather in the front. And Marcus wants to lead us intimately.
Sing Draw Me Close. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down. Hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth. Your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No. no one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me.
It's felt like God wants to know, wants you to know that He is there with you. And so let's just close our eyes, and especially for those, maybe right now, the status of your life, right? If you're to have to be very truthful and honest with your experience with life, it's not satisfying in some ways. And maybe you know exactly why that is, and maybe you don't, but you're aware that it's not satisfying. And so if that's the case, I don't even pray. I just felt like the Lord wanted to minister you, to talk to you. You know, the Bible says, Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice. And so God will speak to you. He will reveal to you, bring revelation to you. His words can pierce and touch your heart. And so if that's you, just, you know, you can, I mean, maybe the only thing you can do, the one thing you can do, is just to acknowledge to the Lord. Like, yeah, that's me. I feel kind of dissatisfied. I'm stuck. I'm kind of aimless. Would you speak to me? And so I'll give you a minute to just have that interaction with the Lord. Yes, Lord, You say that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to be yoked with you, Lord, that we would be so aware when we are not, that we would lay every encumbrance, distraction, anything aside, lay it down at your feet, Lord, and just focus on you, Lord, and just keep life as simple as possible, that we wouldn't overthink things, but we would just walk in obedience with you, Lord. And so we just confess we can't do it in our own strength. We need you, Lord. We need your grace and mercy to lead us and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, amen. Let's take some time. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for this weekend. Let's pray for the IP team that's gathering tonight. Let's also pray for the youth that's meeting tonight. We can also pray for the worship team, their practice. And also pray for the weather as well. Hopefully there's no typhoon that will hinder church. So we don't want it to be, no typhoon's the best, but we don't want it to be above T8. Because if it's above T8, then we'll do an online service, which is just not the same, right, doing it online. So let's pray for tonight's gatherings as well as this weekend. Let's also pray for this Sunday, for the services. Pray for Spin Spill SP Jungwon, Pastor Ernie, Pastor Salamat, Pastor Law Yi for their messages. You can also pray for SP Hong Kong and everyone who, and your prospective, ministries, churches, everyone who serves, the welcoming team, SP Kids, the worship team, the baristas, the AV team. And oh, for SP Hong Kong, you can also pray for me. I'll be sharing this Sunday. So, yes, let's lift up this Sunday.
Let's lift up this Sunday. Lord, we offer this Sunday to you, this worship service, Lord, to meet with you, to pursue you, to praise you, Lord. It's all for you, so we just up every element to you, Lord, everyone who's serving, Lord, that we would be one body working together in harmony, in unity, in heart to give our very best to you, Lord God. We just pray for all the pastors who are preaching, Lord, that you would anoint their word, their messages this Sunday.
Yes, Lord, we just, thank you today for your word, your wisdom and warning, Lord. I mean, and I just pray that, through your word today, that how much we are in need of you, Lord, that we don't want to rely on our own wisdom or our own, what we think is best, Lord. We're done with that. We recognize our best is insufficient, Lord. And so we really want to pursue your ways, and we want to, and even not just experience the blessing and peace of making decisions with you, Lord, but we get to also do it with you, Lord. It's a relationship. It's something that we can do together with you that is so fulfilling and purposeful, Lord. And so help us, Lord, to walk according to your ways, your will, and most importantly, Lord, your heart, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes. That's it. If you could return your chair, that would be very helpful for this Sunday.